The last family communion service we had here, we sang In the Bleak Midwinter, a beautiful carol, singing about the frosty wind moaning, water like a stone and snow falling, great graphics. And thankfully, not like that today, although my car was a bit frozen when I got in it at 8:30. Candlemas, February the 2nd, does actually fall halfway in our winter. So not to alarm you, but we are only halfway through. But we have long passed the shortest day, and the days are getting longer, and we are definitely seeing the signs of new life around us as the trees are budding with new leaf. And of course, we have the brave, bold snowdrops that no cold, no long nights of darkness have been able to keep down. Like the light of Jesus, no darkness can keep that from shining out. So snowdrops have been traditionally gathered at Candlemas to decorate churches in the country, in this country, for years, and in fact well before the Reformation. And they're seen as a sign of purity, which made the connection also with Mary going to the temple for the rite of purification following childbirth, which we also heard reference to in our gospel reading today. But you will see I've picked a copy of a lovely poem that I found years ago about snowdrops. And you may have heard it before, but please bear with me as I read it. It's by Jan Such Pickard, and it's called A Flame That Cannot Be Put Out. In the dark days, under rain, heavy clouds, among broken branches on sodden earth, the snowdrops light their candles, a flame that cannot be put out by darkness or gales or doubt. In the salt wind, roots buckle like broken umbrellas. As the bare trees heave a great sigh, the snowdrops tremble, but their flame cannot be put out by darkness or gales or doubt. Perfect, as though carved in green veined marble, life is pulsing through tissue, delicate as the eyelids of a sleeping child, curved like small fingers holding on. Their flame is steadfast, it is full of hope and new beginnings. Darkness or gales or doubt cannot put it out. What wonderful words around this beautiful little flower. I love that about the delicate as their eyelids of a sleeping child curved with small fingers. Such wonderful words. So looking into our gospel reading, Mary and Joseph took baby Jesus to the temple, as is the custom for the law, for the firstborn male to be dedicated to the Lord. Jesus didn't need to be dedicated to the law. God knew all about him. He was Emmanuel, God with us here on earth. But Mary and Joseph took him there to fulfill their role as good earthly parents. And they heard these words, words of confirmation from Simeon, that he, Simeon, had seen the light of the world, not just to the Israelites, but to all humanity, to all Gentiles included as well, the light to all people. Like the little bold snowdrop that we see all around, not just in the well-manicured gardens or just in woodlands, but in our churchyards and nestled in among tree roots and spreading out across grassland. And there are so many varieties. I read that there are 20 species, but over 2,500 varieties around the world. And in 2022, a single bulb sold on eBay for £1,850. Now, Charleston, let's get out there and see if we've got one. One of these really rare bulbs in amongst us. But snowdrops are light for all people. No wonder the snowdrop is associated with Candlemas. Not just because it is a flower that happens to grow at this time of year. Although let's be honest, is anything that God has done in creation just by chance. This beautiful, delicate, but incredibly robust little flower in these dark months. So let us get back to our readings for Candlemas. We remember Jesus being taken to the temple to fulfill the law. Mary going to the temple to fulfill rules of purification of the law. Jesus, this tiny baby, coming to shine as a light to all. A reflection of God's glory, of his love for us all here on earth. And in the reading we had from Malachi, which Malcolm read, we hear of the refiner, the metal worker who polishes the metal, taking the metal in his hands, smoothing out the rough areas, handling it, turning the metal in his hands, getting to know it, working at it until it shines and reflects the image of its maker, of its refiner. We are encouraged by these words to think of God working on us as he refines us, so that we too shine out and reflect God, our maker, in all we do. So for us now, well, we can, as our churches across the benefice, shine out in our community. It is interesting to read that Anna, in our reading, the very old prophetess who had been married for only 7 years and was now 84 years old, and she, it says she had never left the temple, but she had worshipped, fasting and prayer. But on seeing Jesus, this tiny baby, she gives thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were waiting for God to set Jerusalem free, sharing the good news message. And we've just had our meeting this last week of the church wardens and the parish reps from each of the parishes across the benefice. And we discussed how we can spread the good news message to our local parishes, what services we can have in the coming months, what community gatherings we can think of holding. And that is what we are called to do as worshipping church communities, to reach out and share this good news. Interestingly, Simeon pointed out to Mary and Joseph that not only would Jesus bring great joy, salvation, but also many people will speak against him. Good news is sometimes hard to believe, that someone loves us so much and that the church is a place to welcome all people. Having said that, I know the church can come across critical, hypocritical. We only have to read the news to hear of members of the church being accused of wrongdoing. But that must not make us give up. That is why such delicate little flowers that struggle up through the ground in the bleak midwinter are such symbols of hope and courage. Symbols of the great love that God has for us, that we receive reflected in creation and in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Saviour and Lord. Amen.